Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman on this Friday Eve, like I like to call it. I know most people have no idea what day of the week it is. The snowstorm following the holiday has got everyone kind of in a weird time warp, but it is Thursday. And good news for Jeff in the bread truck. He made it across the Crescent City Connection. It only took him 31 minutes to get from the West Bank to the East Bank and down at the Chapultepec exit. So for those of you who were tracking Jeff's progress, there's some good news. DOTD has vehicles up on the bridge now, stopping people from going around the cones and passing on the Crescent City Connection, which is one lane only. But I can see it out my window, and it is still bumper to bumper, barely moving. New Orleans Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick joins us on the live line now. Chief, thank you so much for taking some time out. I know you have been crazy busy the last 3 days. How you been holding up?
Well, hi, everyone. Doing well, thank you. And I think our officers, our professional staff, everybody's really doing very well.
What were the biggest challenges that you faced during this storm and that the rank and file faced out there dealing with the most snowfall we've seen in New Orleans in 130 years?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing, but so many of our officers have never even seen snow. And probably one of the biggest challenges is just driving in it. And they've never had that experience before.
Yeah, I don't guess that's something you cover in the academy, huh? How to drive on snow and ice.
Exactly. But if you think about it here, that is a real challenge. We wanted to make sure that they were safe as well. And they've really done a pretty good job. We did encourage them to find a big old parking lot and practice driving and stopping and things like that when they came on duty.
And a couple of videos did go viral of citizens helping out a few officers whose vehicles became either stranded in the middle of a street on ice or may have been in a little deep snow. I saw some citizens giving some of your officers a little friendly nudge and helping them get going again.
That was probably the bigger challenge. There was only, even like yesterday, between I think it was 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. yesterday, we had only had two accidents, and one did involve a police officer. No injuries, which we're grateful for. It was mainly getting stuck. And I think that's likewise with the community, is mainly getting stuck. We've done really well on accident prevention.
Yeah, I have some sheriff's deputies in my family, and when they were talking about what they'd be doing during the storm, one said, well, I'll probably be sitting in a ditch like everybody else. I'll just have pretty lights on with it. So because we just we don't have the salt, we don't have the plows, we don't have the ability. But nonetheless, they did go out there and they did their best to make sure they could continue to serve and protect.
Right, right. Yesterday I was out with some of the officers, and we actually took the moto. And the moto is the open-air golf cart, a little bit fancier than a golf cart. And it did very well in the snow, and I'm planning to do that again today to go check on our officers and staff at the different district stations.
So the little 4x4 was kind of the saving grace,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, right, right.
What do you think your officers and you learned? I know there'll be a full after action later, but initially, what do you think you took away from managing this crisis and reacting to all the different things that popped up during this snowstorm?
Well, I think the best thing, and I think we did it very well along with our other partners, but we started to close these streets before all the ice hit, and then people do have major traffic jams on the interstate, on our major thoroughfares. We got ahead of the game. I did live in two different cities as a police chief that did have snow. And places that have snow sometimes take it for granted. And they let people get up on those interstates. And the next thing you know, everybody's in ditches and you have 50 person or 50 car pileups. We didn't do that. We got ahead of the game. And I do think that that's a positive lesson that we can duplicate.
Yeah. And there's nothing worse than being stranded in a cold car in a pileup. And now you're dealing not only with the potential injuries from a crash, but sitting out in the cold forever. So I know people may have found it inconvenient or annoying that, wait, you've already closed things down, but the snow and ice isn't even here yet. But you were doing it preemptively so you wouldn't end up with a situation where we could have had many more sicknesses, illnesses, and deaths, frankly.
Absolutely. And we do know that it impacts and it's an inconvenience. But if you've ever been in a ditch in snow, you want to talk about being inconvenient. That's a greater inconvenience. But more importantly as well, we wanted to prevent anyone being physically injured and or even fatalities that have occurred. So I understand the inconvenience, but it's going to be inconvenient one way or the other. But public safety really is the trump.
The Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development told us last night that your department had asked them to close the Crescent City connection again shortly before 8 o'clock because there were a number of crashes that occurred as people were trying to get from the East Bank to the West Bank. But prior to that, it seemed like people were, by and large, heeding the warning, staying home, either out of fear because they didn't know how to drive in it or because they were just listening to advice from you and other officials. So kind of take us through that. Did it look like finally last night people got a little stir crazy and too many people got out at once?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point that you bring up and one that I want to emphasize with you and your audience today. You know, on the third day now in which people are going to be inbound, you're going to have cabin fever and people tensions rise. And I would ask people that if you find yourself being a little short with your loved ones and your friends and you're in a house or wherever you might be, take a breath. And I mean this seriously. Take a breath. Remove yourself. Go take a walk around the block in the snow. But don't let tensions build. This is an opportunity where domestic violence increases when people are shut up together. And so I do want people to be mindful of that. And I know you're tempted to get out, but get out before, and as well as if you've got to do errands or get medicine. I get that. You need to do it. But do it before night falls with the roads ice up again.
We're talking with the superintendent of the New Orleans Police Department, Chief Ann Kirkpatrick, as we are in the third day of now responding to, reacting to, and digging out of the most dramatic snowfall we've seen in New Orleans in 130 years. Yeah, we did see there were a couple of shootings over the last couple of days, but those seem to be isolated. And we also, though, we've not seen any fatal crashes. We have not seen any serious accidents. And so by and large, I think, other than obviously we don't want people shooting each other during a snowstorm, by and large, it seems like the community was pretty well behaved.
Yeah, it really has been. And I'm grateful that people are listening and practicing. Just as I said, as we're going to this third night now where people are going to, tensions could rise. Please, please just practice the common sense approach. Remove yourself from the tensions. Go to another part of the house, watch a movie, do whatever you need, but don't let your tensions build.
We know that the number of officers you have has been a challenge since you took over, that the rank and file had been dwindling for years. Everyone would love to see 1,500 NOPD officers. Now you're below 900. Was that at all a challenge for you in dealing with this emergency?
Well, it is, because in all that we're doing right now and since I've been here, you know, we honestly believe in officer wellness. And when you work your officers too much, as well as your professional staff, you know, you're going to create burnout for them. And yet our staffing and our city's needs for police services don't go away. And so we have to service the city. And by doing that, it means we're extending very long hours on these officers. And so that is my greater concern as well, is trying to not create a wellness burnout for these officers. And so they're doing an amazing job. Really, they are. And could you imagine how we could better service the city if we had 1,200 to 1,500 officers? They've been incredible with what we have. Think of what we could do with more officers. So please look at us, look at our website. We're interested in talking with you.
How is that going, recruitment and retention, since you've joined the New Orleans Police Department, leading the New Orleans Police Department? How would you assess improvements that were the goal in attracting more qualified candidates and keeping the best cops that you have?
Well, first of all, we want to keep people if we can. Now, there are people who plan for their retirements, and they've been planning it for quite some time. So we're going to have a normal attrition. The city, before I came, really stepped up to the plate and did offer more salary, more bonuses for our senior staff, as well as all of our staff, to stay. As long as they're in good standing, of course, we want you to stay. It is also part of my job to try to create a work environment where you like coming to work. That is important as well. Morale is a part of my job to keep morale up. And so retention has been better. With respect to hiring, we're like every other major city in the country. We're struggling in getting the right people. Now, I want the right people. I know the right people are out there. And I'm not just going to fill a seat just because I have a vacancy. You have to be the best of the best to join an NOPD team.
You've got the Super Bowl and Mardi Gras coming up. How are things looking for that in terms of preparation, outside help? Last year, it was so crucial. We saw sheriff's deputies from across the state and from other departments elsewhere in Louisiana coming in to help you out. How are things shaping up for Super Bowl and Mardi Gras?
Well, actually, right before coming on this call with you, I was on an hour-and-a-half Super Bowl meeting. I've got another one this afternoon. This is an all-hands-on-deck preparation. The preparations began well over a year ago. And so there is an incredible amount of logistics involved, but we have also an incredible amount of resources coming in from the feds, from our regular federal partners, our local parishes. It really is a genuine partnership, but it's a very detailed plan. I think people can feel very comfortable and confident about coming and enjoying the Super Bowl, just like we did with Sugar Bowl. We were able to put Sugar Bowl together and really create an environment of fun and high confidence in your safety.
How much has the New Year's Day terrorist attack impacted the planning for Super Bowl? You said you just got off of another hour and a half long conversation about that. Are we seeing additional outside resources from the federal government or elsewhere as a result of the concerns raised by that New Year's Day attack?
Yes, we did are indeed having way more resources in terms of barriers, in terms of assets and people, dogs, all kinds of things. We are going to be, as I have used the term, when people come, I think you're going to see a sea of blue. And people should take great comfort in that. And just like we did with, you know, Taylor Swift was a huge planning event, and that just went flawlessly. We think, and we know, it's not just I think it, I know, the plans are solid, and we will certainly have the lessons learned with all the after-action reports that will come in time associated with the terrorist attack.
You know, the kind of blueprint for the Super Bowl security and then NFL security in general kind of began here in New Orleans, because the first Super Bowl after the 9/11 terrorist attacks was held at the Superdome. And it was the first time we had ever seen federal assets and national security, Secret Service and others coming in. And it seemed like that was kind of where it all began, was that first post 9/11 Super Bowl here in New Orleans. And it looks like we've seen the evolution with each game that's been here since, in terms of wider buffer zones, more assets and more security. I've got to imagine this is going to be the most secure Super Bowl ever, with the largest number of assets and the largest focus on security ever.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very secure. And, you know, I want to remind folks, or actually extend a thank you to our mayor, because our mayor was also able to raise the security level, what we call a SEAR, S-E-A-R, that's an acronym, to a level one for Mardi Gras. And over several years, the mayor has requested from the federal government to raise our status from a SEER 2 to a SEER 1. So even with Mardi Gras, we're going to be having an incredible amount of federal assets that will be devoted to the city of New Orleans. And it's very, very solid plans. And anyway, we are I know that people can come out and really enjoy New Orleans, and we're not going to step on the culture either. We're going to be able to make both exist at the same time. The culture will remain, and the security will enhance.
Chief Ann Kirkpatrick, anything else you want to share with the people of New Orleans before you ride out on that souped-up golf cart and go take a look at what's going on with cleaning the streets and how your officers are doing in this snow and ice?
Yeah, so wave to us when we're out and about, but I want to thank the radio audience. New Orleans has been super, and they're a partner with us. You have been a partner, and we appreciate that you have listened to the warnings and the advice, and everybody's going to get out and play again probably tomorrow afternoon. All the weather will turn, and we will go back to enjoying the restaurants and the activities, and we look forward to seeing you out there.
I will enjoy riding around on that little 4x4. Before you leave, I will tell you, a few people have texted and asked, I don't know if this is the case or not, if there are officers at the bottom of the Chapultepec off-ramp to help direct traffic to keep it moving on the CCC. So
that's right. They are. So right. Be kind to them. They've been out there for a long, long time in those elements. So appreciate everyone.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ann Kirkpatrick here on WWL. All right, coming up, we're going to talk with Cynthia Lee Shang, president of Jefferson Parish, and get an update on what's going on there. Some concerns today about the water pressure in Jefferson, with everyone dripping their faucets overnight and everything else going on. We've been hearing about issues in other communities with water main breaks, and we know that Jefferson is on a dry normal day, sees a bunch of water main breaks. So we'll find out what's going on with the water in Jefferson and anything else you need to know. If you have any questions about what's going on in JP, text them now to the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. I'll ask Cynthia Lee Shang, the president of Jefferson Parish, right after this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's 12:30 on your Thursday afternoon. I keep saying what day it is, not only to remind you, but to remind myself, because I've had a lot of trouble keeping track of the days, especially since Monday was a holiday. Tuesday was snowing all morning, all afternoon, and all evening. And here we are on Thursday, but it feels like it was a week, a month, or longer ago. Probably feels that way to Jefferson Parish President Cynthia Lee Sheng as well. How you holding up?
On the top of my paper, I have Thursday written, so I know what day it is. I don't know what happens.
Well, thank you for doing
that. Working these events, they all blend in together. I get it.
Yeah, thank you for doing that, because some of our guests keep giving us the wrong days, and we get confused because they say it's a different day than we thought it was. And then so thank you for focusing. I have it typed right here on my computer screen, too. Thursday. So there we go.
And it's snowed on Tuesday. So
yes, that was just 2 days ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
How are things going in terms of getting us back to as much normalcy as we can? I got the alert this morning from your Emergency Operations Center about conserving water. Let's start there. How's that going?
We're still not out of the woods on the waterfront. We had to issue a boil water advisory yesterday for Chenier, which is near Grand Isle, and then Gretna this morning. They produce their own water. And they had to do a boil water advisory this morning. So just given the amount of breaks that we've had, you know, we couldn't go out on Tuesday, the snow day, and fix breaks. The amount of water that's being used with people running their faucets to prevent their pipes from bursting, and just the extreme weather that we've had. We know this was an uphill battle going in. That's why early on we asked people to conserve water. We still are asking people to conserve water. Everybody should have their faucets turned off now. Nobody needs to be running any faucets anymore. And I think if we can get through today, we'll be in a lot better place. But I spoke to our water director, Sydney Basley, early, and I said, you know, how do we look? And he just couldn't say. He doesn't know how the days go. He's like, we could get a break, and it pushes us into a boil water advisory. You know, it's just a fragile, it's a very old system. Everybody in Jefferson Parish gets a higher bill every January, and we increase that because we have a lot of projects for the next 20 years going out to give us a better water system. But it is a very old and fragile system that we're using now. And these extreme weather events kind of bring that out.
Yeah, on a clear, beautiful day, you deal with dozens of water line breaks. not with now you add freezing temperatures into it.
Exactly.
And so we're kind of waiting for the final evaluation now that we're thawing out, and we'll get a better idea.
Exactly. On a regular week, we could deal with 500 breaks.
Wow.
And it's such a big system, you know. So and we would have all those breaks anyway. So our teams have been really working on fixing a lot of the major breaks. And, you know, we know we went through this event and some people lost water and we had to, you know, just turn off water to preserve the pressure. But we're getting through. But today is a big day if we can get through today. So we're still asking people to not use any water that they don't need to be using. You don't need to do laundry today or anything like that. So we're asking people for their cooperation on that front.
And the good news is no more hard freezes in Jefferson Parish are expected. So tonight, no one needs to drip water. The dripping of the water out the faucets to prevent pipes from freezing, that's over for this event.
Yeah, I think so. I think you don't have to do it. If we do, I mean, we'll just be hovering very close to the freezing point, but I think we're, you know, the temperature is today, and that might only be for a little bit in the middle of the night, but today, you know, the temperature is higher for a longer period of time than yesterday. Yesterday was a good day, beat my expectations. You know, of course, this is the first snow event I've ever had to work, but yesterday I was just hoping to clear a pathway to the hospitals with our snow plows and with our own equipment, and we did much more than that. Mark Drews is our public works director, and we had a meeting last night, and, you know, he read off a whole list of streets that we were able to clear and provide passage to the hospital, much better than my expectations. And today, I think, is going to even be better because Mother Nature is going to help us with the warmer weather. And I think by, you know, later this afternoon, we'll be in a much, much better place. But again, we're not out of it yet.
Yeah.
And look, we're saying if you don't have to go out on the streets, please don't. You know, we still have icy roads. There's still many roads that are closed. We'll again later today, we'll be in a better position, we believe. But right now, if you don't have to go out, you don't want to go out if you don't have to.
Yeah. And just to clear that up, folks, you only have to drip water from your pipes if you have a hard freeze where you live. And the experts tell us that means 26 degrees for 4 hours or more. So the North Shore, we could still drip the pipes to the faucets tonight. But south of the lake and in all of Jefferson Parish, that should not be necessary. You talked about people getting cabin fever, wanting to get out. And you're echoing what we've been hearing from just about everybody today. Please, just one more day. But they opened the Crescent City Connection a little while ago, and we saw a mad dash, and now there's just a nonstop line from the West Bank to the East Bank of bumper to bumper, barely moving traffic, as obviously a lot of people wanted to get from the West Bank to the East Bank. Crescent City Connection, that's the situation. The Huey P is also open with one lane, so at least people can move around if they have to, but you don't want them to.
Yes. Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. And we're going to be out of it soon, but not quite yet. So, yes. I know everybody's impatient, you know, but nobody expected. Yeah, I don't know what you all are reporting for totals region-wide, 8 or I feel like I had 9 inches. I've heard as much as 11 or 12 inches. So, I mean, this is not what we're used to. I think we did, as a region, did very well coming through it. Seeing that we've not really, we don't do tabletop exercises on snow events. I'll have to admit that. We do handle a lot of other events that we practice for, but this was not, you know, not something that we were anticipating. And I'm really proud of all of our teams for being flexible and handling everything. So I think we did, you know.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And no heater events. I was very concerned we might lose somebody. I mean, we're still, you know, throughout the winter we could, you know, you're always afraid with, you know, space heaters and generator use, but I was really afraid we would have more of those incidences. We had a couple of fires with heating incidences with space heaters, but, thankfully nobody passed away.
And by and large, people did heed your requests and stayed indoors really Tuesday, or maybe not indoors, but didn't get out on the streets and try to drive around. People played in it. They built snow people. They had snowball fights. They went sledding down the levees with their pool toys, you know, whatever. People got out and enjoyed it. But by and large, people heeded the warnings not to try and drive in it. I think a lot of them were afraid to try and drive in it, and maybe fear was a factor in that. But it was also, I think, officials like yourself telling people, hey, come on, just if you got to go somewhere, walk there.
Yes, exactly. We did well.
any immediate takeaways? I doubt and I hope we never see this again. But any immediate takeaways? And I know you haven't done the after action reports. We're still in the reactionary phase. But anything that jumped out to you that you took away from everything we've seen over the last 3 days?
Well, the immediate takeaway is we're going to be buying snow plows from now on.
Yeah.
For the amount that they cost. And look, I mean, the takeaway is this is as beautiful as it was. And I saw children and families, you know, going down the levee. It was just an incredible sight to see. This is demonstrating what we know to be happening, especially those of us in the emergency management world of extreme weather and how we have to be able to respond to these. I will remind everybody that in 2023 in Jefferson Parish, we had 41 days of record-breaking heat. And now to have, like, you know, 8 inches of snow coming down, we're seeing these kind of extreme weather happening in a very, very short period of time. So somebody like me who loves the emergency management stuff, like, there's as beautiful it is, it's almost like, to me, kind of frightening how we're swinging so quickly in such a short period of time that we're seeing it, you know, just in my term of office. But, you know, that's the immediate takeaway. So, look, I was looking at the snow plows that were going on, and I was telling my public works team, figure out how this works. Because some of them were just on a truck. It's worth us to invest, because we'll say this is a once in a lifetime event, but do we really know that? I mean, you know, do we really know that with what's happening with the weather? So I think the Jefferson Parish taxpayers are going to be buying a couple of snowplows that we can put on truck.
Yeah, you can just attach them to a pickup truck or a larger vehicle, even a garbage
truck.
Yeah, you can attach them to just about any kind of truck. So
I'm telling my team, figure out how to do that. Figure out what we need to do. Put that salt thing on the back, and it's worth us having. If we buy it and somebody else needs it in Louisiana, we can, you know, share it. I think that's worth the investment, because we think this is, like I said, we think this is a historic event. How do we know this isn't going to happen in the next couple of years? It happened, you know, 2 days ago. So for that investment, it's kind of worth it, because, you know, given that we were at some point, our emergency services were only responding to life-threatening events or structural fires, that, you know, yesterday we were, you know, the priority was to clear a path to hospitals. I mean, you're talking about, you know, life safety kind of issues, that is definitely worth spending a little bit of money to prepare for that. But I never thought I'd be telling my team to start looking at buying snow equipment.
Well,
so
your bingo card, though,
takeaway on the after action report.
Yeah, your bingo card is at hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires, extreme
tornadoes,
heat,
flood,
drought,
salt water intrusion, pandemic. We had a pipe burst that I had to shut off 100,000 water accounts. No, my dance card is full. My emergency management bingo card, you know, I'd be yelling bingo
maybe
many times.
Maybe shred it so that we don't have to fill in any more squares.
I am going to say that I will not have to worry about volcanic eruptions. I will go so strong and say that. But who knows? It's been a busy
tsunamis.
Well, yeah, hopefully. Yes, exactly. So it's been a lot of different emergencies. Yes.
Jefferson Parish President Cynthia Lee Sheng, anything else you want to share with folks? As we're being a little silly, but that's because we're a little whipped after 3 days of all this.
That's what happens when you get really tired and you don't know what day it is. You get a little silly. Anyway, more of seriously, Gretna has a boil water advisory. Chenier by Grand Isle has a boil water advisory. And the message is to conserve water still, turn off your faucets, and if you don't have to go out, please don't go out.
All right, and contact your cohorts at Region 6 for FEMA and ask them about those salt thingies you asked about. To dump them. Where do we get those salt thingies?
Thank you for having me on.
All right.
Thank you.
Hang in there. We're almost through it. All right. Tomorrow looks like everything's almost back to normal, other than we probably will have some of these lingering boil water advisories, folks, because it's going to take another day to get samples taken and sent off to the lab and analyzed in the State Department of Health to verify that the water doesn't have unsafe levels of bacteria in it. So please, if you don't want to have to go through that mess and deal with boil water advisories, wherever you are, you should probably be conserving water today. You do not have to drip faucets south of Lake Pontchartrain tonight. Not a hard freeze. One last night, hopefully it looks like, of doing it on the North Shore. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Newell Norman. We'll try to answer some more of your questions coming up after this. Anything we haven't addressed that you want to know about, call me or text me now on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870, and we'll try to address it. Getting some questions about mail delivery and garbage pickup, and those are obviously very important things for people in terms of getting back to normalcy. Mail delivery is being handled on a post office by post office basis, so the Postal Service can't give us a blanket answer on that. Same with FedEx, UPS, Amazon, DHL, and all the others. They're kind of making neighborhood by neighborhood evaluations and seeing where they can safely get out. Tomorrow, with GOSEP saying we're going to see schools open, government offices open, businesses open, roads and bridges open, I cannot imagine that we won't see all of those things returning. But they won't be normal because now they're backed up. Monday was a holiday. Tuesday, it was snowing. Wednesday, everything was impassable. Today, nothing's moving as crews try to get all the snow and ice out of the way. So you're looking at 4 or 5 days of backed up deliveries. So I wouldn't expect rapid delivery of anything you've been waiting on. It's probably going to take some time logistically to work that all out. Garbage collection, again, that's tricky as well. But it looks like tomorrow, almost all, if not all, of the garbage collection services will be returning to the way things were. Some of them are adding extra collections. Some are just picking up where they left off. We're getting an update now from the city of New Orleans. Has that started, Coleman? Can you hear right now? Let's bring up the city of New Orleans feed. Mayor LaToya Cantrell.
The interstates, I-10, and working regionally with our regional partners to do so, and partners that we have activated in terms of snowplows that have been working throughout the city, but even engaging as we want to clear rights of way relative to the interstate. The New Orleans Police Department, Fire Department, EMS, Health Department, all first responders just continue to provide public safety efforts around the city. We're still operating our warming centers at Rosenwald, Treme, and St. Bernard. I know that members at St. Bernard are going back. Some are going to work, but then some do expect to come back tonight. So we will have our centers open throughout the week, looking at Saturday possibly closing. You'll hear more from Colin on that. Louis Armstrong Airport, as you know, has reopened. We've done a tremendous job on yesterday clearing major thoroughfares. They are ramps to get MSY back into full service. My administration just continues to lean in and troubleshoot key areas around the city so that we're, again, bouncing back stronger really by the hour, every single hour. With that, we're going to take questions, but I'm going to ask Colin to give you a little bit more information. But before he gets to that, I do want you all to know that we are reaching out to our Lighthouse partners and food bank partners throughout the city so that they can stand up resources, particularly food, to meet our people where they are around the city. More to come on that. NOLA Ready continues to stay activated and be the center point of information, trusted information citywide. And so with that, Colin, you'll take it from here, and then we'll move through any Q&A we'll get.
New Orleans Homeland Security Chief.
Thank you, Mayor. Good afternoon, everybody who's online. Appreciate it. Let's start with some plowing. It's continuing. Snow plowing is continuing. It continued last night. We were able to accomplish what we discussed yesterday, which was major arteries through Lakeview, through Mid-City and the City Park area. Many of the cross streets and major cross streets in Gentilly heading from east to west. And then also got a handle on the lower Ninth Ward, the main streets there, as well as Florida Avenue, and then Chef Highway all the way out to New Orleans East. Today's focus particularly is on New Orleans East. We want to get a handle on Hain, Morrison, Dwyer, and then Reed and Bullard. And they did Crowder yesterday, but we'll check that out again. And then at the request of DOTD, we're going to start with our plows moving on Interstate 10 from east to west. They're moving from west to east. And so we're hoping to make a significant dent in the remaining snow that's out there on Interstate 10, assisting the state. And then I've also put on their list 610 because these plows that we've had have been working pretty fast. And we think that they'll be able to knock some of those things out. I forgot to mention, they were also able to do yesterday General de Gaulle all the way down the Woodland Bridge down into the English Turn area, Lower Coast Algiers. Now, this is the main streets. We have not been able to get into the actual neighborhoods and residential streets. To be quite frank, that's probably not going to happen. We think that, and you've probably seen that with the sunshine today and the increasing temperatures, that this is rapidly diminishing. We're going to make a determination this afternoon whether or not we need the snowplows for another day. Looking out there now, we'll have to see about that. As far as traffic accidents due to ice or snow-related issues, there were 7 reported last night from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. One of those was injury, minor injury. The rest were no injuries. NOPD continues to provide a lot of the traffic monitoring and barricades and keeping people off of the interstate at this time because it is still closed. The Crescent City Connection, they've been able to maintain one lane in each direction. I think that's going to increase throughout the day. The issue still remains elevated roadways and bridges that tend to freeze over. And I'll just pause there and say, that's going to continue again tonight. We are going to get below freezing for about possibly 3 to 5 hours. It will be significantly less than what we've experienced over the last 2 to 3 days. But it is something to bear in mind that as this beautiful sunshine that we've needed starts to go away this evening, the chance for black ice and for slippery roads, I think, actually will increase compared to some of the other days, because a lot of the snow is going to be gone, and all that's going to remain is moisture and water, and that water will freeze. So we want everyone to continue to be careful. As far as our messaging, we still want people to really think twice before getting on the roads today. That's going to continue to get better. We're not going to continue with the messaging of stay off, stay off, stay off the roads, but we do want people just to make sure, especially at night as the sun goes down, be very, very careful if you're driving around. And that's the posture that we want to take right now. As far as the human services situation with our warming centers and shelters, as the mayor mentioned, we have 3 open right now. We have Rosenwald with about 120 persons. We have Treme with about 70. And we have the St. Bernard Rec Center with about 15 to 20 was the last count we had there. We think we're stable there. We are ordering resupplies today just to make sure that we're going to be good. We intend to close down this operation on Saturday morning. That will be when temperatures climb very much above our target threshold, where we activate the freeze plan. And that's what we're looking towards at this moment, is to demobilize on Saturday morning.
We will be reopening City Hall to full operations on tomorrow. And, of course, we'll be coordinating with our employees that may need to respond virtually. However, full operations for City Hall on tomorrow.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And then working, the next would be the utilities. Entergy New Orleans has related to us, and I'm I believe that power is not going to be an issue during this event. We made it through power quite well. At any one time during the past 3 days, we've had 200 to 300 customers without power. That is, trends about what it does on a daily basis. And those outages were all repaired within the same day. There's been very few power issues to note. Entergy New Orleans has related that they have very little damage to any of their infrastructure, so we're comfortable there. Water, as we know, will always be an issue when we have a freeze here in the city, and particularly a prolonged freeze like this. And what we are anticipating, and what Sewage and Water Board has confirmed, is that as we get above 32 degrees on a more sustained basis, we will start seeing more leaks, particularly residential leaks where pipes have burst. We are doing a very active messaging campaign about how to deal with that, about how to turn your water off. I would recommend that everyone, all residents, if you have a water leak in your home, turn your water off at the home. They're asking now with these new smart meters to not turn your water off at the meter with the key, but to turn your water off at that cutoff lever that is on either the front of your home, or if you're on a corner lot, that's typically on the side of your house. And there'll be more. You can find out about this at ready.nola.gov, and we'll have a lot more messaging through NOLA Ready and through Sewage and Water Board about how to deal with this issue. Sewage and Water Board has reported a water main leak that they are aware of on Hawthorne Drive. They are aware of it. They're going to respond to it if they haven't already. The only issue last night when it was noted was the ability to get out there and use heavy equipment in the snow and ice. We believe that they'll be able to get out there as soon as possible and address water main leaks. And then, as I said, there's been a handful, and it is increasing, of numbers of residences complaining of leaking water. What they've asked for is to continue to voluntary water conservation measures, and that's what we've talked about over the past couple of days, which is just doing those things to try and reduce the use of water, particularly in the morning when you're talking about laundry, showers, dishwashing, and the like, trying to spread that out over the day to reduce the amount of pressure on the water system in the morning times after everyone has run their faucets overnight. You still need to run your faucet when it's below 32 degrees, but that is getting, according to Sewage and Water Board, less and less necessary now because the temperatures are not, we're not getting into that hard freeze range. So that's kind of where we're at with the utilities.
We still also want to encourage all customers to contact the 52 water, use the 52 water to report all sewer and water breaks. We are actively assisting that line and responding to those emergency calls. So 52 water, please call. The next 4 to 6 hours would just be critical hours for the Sewage and Water Board in terms of the city warming back up. So again, 52 water is the line to call.
I think that's about all I had right now as far as comments. We obviously we're moving into the third, almost fourth day of this. As the mayor mentioned, we're planning on a full work day tomorrow for city government. We will have exceptions for remote work for folks that may still have transportation challenges. I believe the schools are going to make a decision this afternoon about school tomorrow, and we'll make sure to assist in conveying that message to the public as well. So with that, if there's any questions, ask away.
You're listening to live coverage of a briefing with the mayor of New Orleans, LaToya Cantrell, on WWL New Orleans, WWL FM, and HD1 Kenner New Orleans.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.